God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I've surrendered to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
All right, before I turn the mic over to my brother Dylan, and I just wanted you guys to know that I met this guy a few years ago, and I have no idea where his walk with God was at this time. Mine was still at the beginning stages. I still feel like I'm at the beginning stages, but I met him here, or not here, well, here at your Christian church. And, you know, as all men do, we kind of put on that tough, macho facade, you know, and I was just kind of looking him over a little bit just to see what kind of person he was and to see if I was going to trust him or not. And, you know, I was able to get to know him through a dinner at my house, and I got to get to know him through a step study group. And this guy is so amazing, and he has so much passion and love in his heart that it's unreal. There are so many times that him and I, you know, sat at either my house or round the clock diner, you know, or here. You know, times where I'm like throwing my hands up in the air, just ready to give up, and all of a sudden here he comes, you know, and well, would Jesus give up? And, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm just like, well, I don't think he would, so that means I can't either, you know. And, you know, he's just been such an inspiration to me and just such a good leader that, you know, I'm just thankful that, you know, we get to spend this time and to hear his message tonight. And I truly believe he has a very, very strong message for us. So I'm going to stop and pass it over to my brother.
Did everybody get enough food? If you didn't, it's your own fault. I think I might have had too much, so if I pass out, it's just a food coma, so don't worry about it. I'll be all right. Now, before I get started, has anybody seen the forecast for today? I've been walking around with a stupid hat waiting for this to happen. I guess it's true, you really can't trust the weatherman. Okay, now the jokes are out of the way. We can get serious. When Sam asked us to speak tonight, and he asked us, you know, he just wanted to talk about how Celebrate Recovery has helped us in our journey with the Lord. And whenever I say I mean us, my wife and I. She'll concur with everything I say, hopefully. This one was really hard to put together. Usually when I put together a lesson, I have like a topic or a passage to talk about. And this was almost as difficult as putting together my testimony, because it was a big story and there's a lot that needs to be said. And you know, I wonder how Pastor Eric or Pastor Dennis does it. You know, just kind of keep it short and concise, and I realize they just go over time. So I hope you guys have a couple hours. Just kidding. The truth of the matter is, I want to challenge you guys tonight. There's a phrase that I learned from the church that we attended down in Texas. And it is, I want you to be offended. I want you to be offended by the gospel. I want you to be challenged by what Christ is saying to you. Because it is when we're challenged, it's when we are pushed to question what we think we believe, what we know, that's when we truly grow. And if we're not constantly questioning things and constantly pushing ourselves and being stretched, then we're not going to grow. So my prayer for tonight is that we all get offended by something I say. hopefully in a good way. So, where to start? And, well, before I go any further, I do want to say, I found that the best way for me to explain, to answer Sam's question to me a couple months ago, is just to kind of explain some principles that we've learned over time. As he said, you know, we went through the Celebrate Recovery small group study guide. It took us about 15 months, and then we, you know, stuck around with CR, and we got involved with the leadership of it, and then, of course, we went to 6 months of, or 5 months of mission school down in Texas. So that's a lot of experience and training and growing and stretching. Down in mission school, we learned the importance of constantly strengthening our relationship with God. You know, throughout all the courses, all of our instructors, pastors, missionaries, teachers, they all explained to us that if you put your ministry first, your relationship with your family, and even more specifically with God, is going to suffer. Because we get things out of order. We constantly just want to do good for God. We want to do stuff for God. We want to help the poor. We want to do this. We want to do that, which is all great. I'm definitely not knocking that. But we forget God in the mix, and we start focusing on more what good we're doing instead of the relationship that we have with Him. And I've learned over time that it's not about doing things for God. It's about doing things with God. It's about having an intimate relationship where He's side by side with you in whatever it is you're doing. It's not about going and feeding a needy family and then come back and be like, hey, look, God, look what I did. Look what I did for you. He's like, well, why don't you bring me along? I want to be a part of it. You know, we have the 12 steps. That's a little blurry. It's okay. You don't have to read them all. These are the 12 steps that Celebrate Recovery is based on and the Bible verses that go along with it. And we just read the 8 principles that are based on the Beatitudes, or the beautiful attitudes, as we learned. When we were in school, we had an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount. And as we went through these Beatitudes, I started to realize that they are almost an ideal goal of how to live. That's why they're called beautiful attitudes. Poor in spirit, meek, mournful, hunger and thirsting for justice, being merciful, cleanliness of heart, peacemaker, persecuted for justice's sake. None of us can do all of these things all the time on our own. The point is, we can have as many lists of good things to do or certain ways to talk or just how to live, but all of it's impossible without God in our lives. And if we don't accept that gift of the Holy Spirit through which God empowers us to do these things, then it's just another list of stuff. It's another list of rules that we start judging ourselves on or judging others on, and then we fall right back into the whole legalism of stuff that Jesus Christ set us free from in the first place. The Bible is real. This was a principle that hit me really hard. You'd think after accepting Jesus as my Savior at the age of 10 and being baptized, what was it, like 5 years ago, honey? That I would have gotten that, especially going to this church every week. And trust me, Dennis preaches the realness of the Bible, but I never got it. Something didn't click. I always looked at this as a big history book that was filled of wonderful things. I certainly believe that it was the inspired word of God and everything in it was true. You know, Pastor Dennis talks about how the kingdom of God flips everything upside down on its head. But if we are in the kingdom of God, then why aren't we flipped upside down in our heads according to this world? The world should look upside down to us if we are following Christ I mean, I love that we're in, like, studying the book of Acts, because, you know, we see these wonderful things happening. We see the power of God acting through normal people just like you and me. But we don't accept it as real. We accept it as something that was done in the past. God is very alive right now. But we don't believe that far. We only believe to a certain extent. The spiritual realm is completely ignored in American culture. You know, outside of our borders, there's a lot of spiritual influence. There's a lot inside our borders, but we don't recognize it as such because we think it's all written in this ancient textbook that we're supposed to study and memorize to be good. At least that's how I looked at it until recently. The Bible is our new normal. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, this is our new normal. And that is why the world is flipped on its head, according to us, from our perspective. That's how it should be. And I'm realizing more and more how out of sync we are from this, specifically myself. I think that as we read and study the words of Jesus, we need to be challenged. As I said before, we need to be offended by what he says, because it wars against our sinful nature. It wars against just the elements of this world that aren't right. And if we don't, every time we open the Bible, every time we read Scripture, every time we study God's Word, if we're not challenged, then we're missing something. If we're not pushed to believe more, to trust more, to have more faith, to walk better behind Jesus' footsteps, then we're missing something. The two most difficult words I have found so far in the Bible is follow me. I believe that every single day Jesus calls us to do this, yet it is so difficult. Thankfully, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to do that as long as we choose to tap into that power. As I said before, I accepted Christ as a kid, 10 years old, and throughout my whole life, I can look back to that point and say, yes, I wholeheartedly the entire time believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't follow him very well. I kind of just said, oh, thanks for the free ticket, and I went along my merry way. I ignored this. I ignored his call to follow him. And it was after going to YCC for a little bit that I started to understand what that meant to follow him, and that he calls us to it. And then my wife and I, we chose to get baptized together, which was an awesome experience. And God started changing us immediately. As soon as I said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you, but I have no idea how, he started making a way. And he just started showing us, this is what I want you to do now. This is what I want you to do next. There's some things in my life that just changed. The music that I listened to, I didn't enjoy anymore for some reason. I had no explanation for it. I was just talking about this the other day. Or maybe it was this morning. I don't know. I lost the taste for alcohol, you know. But then there's other things that God said, no, I want you to do this, or I want you to give up this, or I want you to go down this path instead of the one that you're going. I find that as we grow in faith, or as we want to grow in faith, a lot of times we don't give God the opportunity to prove himself to us. We shortcut it. You know, just like, as many of you probably know, we sold our vehicles. Can we get a round of applause for that, please? That was, thank you. But we tried shortcutting it. We gave the truck to a dealer, and it sat there for 6 months. One person looked at it. We started losing hope, and we started looking for other ways and how to sell it, thinking it was up to us. We got to sell it, right? So I found another way to do it, and I was in the process of getting in touch with the car dealership that was trying to sell it for us, and I had to leave a message. And when I got a return message, the woman said, I'm so sorry. I couldn't, you know, get a hold of you. There's been a lot going on lately, but I do have some good news. We sold your truck this week, and I'm just waiting for the check to clear. And it was like, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt when God calls us to something that he's going to provide for it? And it was like he just moved in at the perfect time. And then that whole chain of events, on top of it, he sold our car, and we hadn't even started trying to do that yet. The process of us walking behind Jesus and following him the way he calls us to, the big word that we learned for that is sanctification. I don't know if everyone's heard of that word, but it scares me to hear that word. It sounds like a big churchy word. It's just the cleansing of our old habits, our old hurts, our old hang-ups. The removal of the junk inside of us that prevents us from having a more intimate relationship with God. And it's so simple to give it over, yet so difficult. I think that one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Moses passes away and Joshua is leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. And I always shortcut the story. I just love, he says, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, which at the time was representation of God's presence among his people, that's going to go before you. And the moment that you step into the river, I will raise the water so that the whole nation can pass through safely. But he said, you got to take that step first. If they just sat there on the banks of the Jordan and were like, all right, God, we'll wait on you, they would have sat there and just died on the riverbanks, because he said you have to first take that step of faith. And I've always loved that story, and I'm like, yeah, you know, and then the waters rise, they walk across, you know, that's good. But then we forget the next part, which is even bigger. He says, I want you to take down Jericho. Jericho was one of the most fortified cities at the time. They had double 10-foot walls. And then on top of that, God says, I just want you to march around it for a week and start screaming, essentially. I'm paraphrasing there. but, you know, he's like, the victory is mine. You just have to do what I tell you to do. You have to be obedient, and I will provide the fight for you. Now, if they were on the other side of the Jordan before they even crossed, and he says, I want you to cross through this, you know, impassable river and then take down the most fortified city in the area, that would have been a little bit of much, don't you think? I probably would have been like, no, I'm good. I like this side of the river. But no, God didn't do that because he knew that they couldn't handle that. One step at a time. That's all that matters. It's not about, you know, God saying, hey, 17 years from now, this is where you're going to be. No, he said, this is the next step I want you to take. That's what he means when he says, follow me. He's like, follow just the next step. Just the next step. Just the next step. And then when you turn around, you've climbed a mountain. When you turn around, you've conquered the entire promised land. That's what God calls us to. That's what he means by follow me. In the process of following him, I've learned that, you know, one of the things I wrestled with over the past year is, okay, so we're saved. We're saved by Christ's grace, his sacrifice. I accept that. I now have his spirit living in me. And now I'm even following him, and I'm listening to him, and I'm letting him guide me and teach me how to live life and how to live life with him and for him. But I still fail. I still fall on my face. I still sin. And I'm like, how does that work? That equation doesn't make sense to me. And I realized that, you know, fear is the opposite of faith. And in this process, when I find that I'm losing faith, or I'm without faith in a certain area, I start to question, what am I afraid of? What fear is there in my life that is preventing me from having the faith in this area? Why am I not taking that next step? Has anybody ever seen the movie A Beautiful Mind? Okay. If you haven't, there's a part of the movie where he starts to have these hallucinations. of other people that he thinks are real in his life. And everyone tries to convince him that, these people aren't real, you know. And he wants to believe them because he loves them. It's like his wife and his kids and whatever. And but at the same time, these hallucinations are so very real, and they've been integrated integral part of his life. So he's like, I don't know what to do. And then eventually something happens, and he kind of has this, what we would call an epiphany, that he realizes that, okay, these are hallucinations. And he starts working on, changing his behaviors and his beliefs and what he thinks. Because, okay, now that I know the truth, that they're hallucinations, I got to deal with it. And the whole time they're fighting, like, oh, you need me in your life. You can't reject me, all this other stuff, which were all lies. And then towards the end of the movie, he's doing his thing, and he's living life without the hallucinations. And they cut to a scene where he's, like, writing or he's doing something. And those hallucinations are just standing there, staring at him, waiting for him to turn back and just invite them back into his life. You see, our fears are of the unknown. We cling to things in our lives that we've known for so long that we don't know what to do, what's going to happen when we let go of them, even though they might be bad for us, and that we fully know that they're bad for us, like a drug addiction or, a buying addiction or tobacco or alcohol or codependence, anything. The list can go on and on and on. But we get so wrapped up in that, and we're just afraid of the unknown. But we're never going to know what that unknown is unless we venture that way. We fear change. And but if we want to change, we've got to take a leap of faith. They don't know I was going to do this, but Brad and Barbara, could you come up here, please? I want to use you guys for a little example. Can we have a round of applause for Brad and Barbara, please? These are some of the most wonderful people I have ever met. You guys are all wonderful, too. But these are the folks that we're staying with while we are home, and they have just welcomed us into their home and just take such wonderful care of us. Okay, now on to my example. Brad, could you come over here, please? Okay, stand right here and face the people. All right, you don't mind being a bad habit for a minute, do you? Okay, good. All right, and sweetie, you just stay right there. Okay, so here's our bad habit, all right? We're good buddies, even though he's pulling the microphone off. That's okay. So we're good buddies. We know each other. We hang out all the time. We're inseparable. There's faith. There's the voice of God. There's hope. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. So I try to get a little bit closer and just lean in and hear what faith and hope and love is trying to tell me. And I get a little bit closer and I get a little bit closer. And I can't quite reach it. I can't quite reach it because I'm holding on to my habit. This is that leap of faith. This is that step of faith that God's calling us to take. But we don't take it because we're afraid of letting go. And all we have to do is this. And that's gone. And now we have faith. Sometimes, though, it looks like this. Has anybody seen The Matrix? Any Matrix lovers? Load the jump program, okay? Sometimes it looks like this, and it's a lot more scary. Or maybe it is as close as I first showed you, but to our perception, it looks like this, like it's this huge thing that is impossible. But the truth is, with God, all things are possible. We might know it in our heads, okay? We might have had millions of people tell us that. But the only way we're going to know it in our hearts is if we take that jump. And we come over and we embrace love and hope and grace. Thanks, guys. Did everybody understand that? Okay, good. Those guys are awesome. All right. Celebrate Recovery is how church should be. It's how YCC is. And I love it. I absolutely love it. We have, you know, insightful lessons. Every once in a while, they'll let a doofus like me get up here and just rant and rave for an hour. But the majority of the time, we have insightful lessons and spirit-led. I think we can all agree that Pastor Eric and Pastor Dennis are quite on fire for the Lord, and they still got his guidance every time they get up here to speak. Then we have our small groups, whether it's our connection groups or the groups that meet after right now on Friday nights. You know, church isn't about showing up on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever you have your connection group or on a Friday and just nodding and enjoying what you hear and then feeling good for half an hour and going home and waiting until the next time you get to do that. It's not what church is at all. Church is being the body of Christ. My hand is connected to my foot, and every once in a while they help each other out, okay? But that's what being the body of Christ is. That's what church is. You know, I try not to tear up through this. A couple days ago, I had an online conversation with a good friend of mine. I've known him since high school. And things got a little heated, and he wound up blocking me for a day or two on Facebook. And I thought I lost a good friend. And I knew I was wrestling with it, and it sucked. But I didn't know what I felt. As most men can attest to, we don't know what we feel until it's too late, usually. And So I didn't know how I felt about it, but I knew something was going on. So I told my wife a little bit about what happened, and she was like, "Well, how do you feel about that?" I said, "I don't know, but I know it bothers me." Now, a couple years ago, what would have happened was I wouldn't have said anything. And what would have happened was is we would go about our normal routine, and something dumb would happen, and I would blow up at her for no good reason. And then I would take out whatever it was that was inside that I didn't even know was there, out on her. And then we'd go through the process of ending an argument and then healing a little bit and coming back once our tempers were back together. And we'd sit down and have this conversation about, you know, how we can communicate better and what was actually going on. And it would be about at that point I started recognizing what emotions I was feeling and why I was feeling them. It's a huge waste of time. It's good that you get to grow together. But it's a waste of time in the fact that it doesn't have to be that way. Instead, this week, we're driving, and that's when I explained to her what was going on. And she just put her hand on top of mine. And she looked at me intently. I couldn't really look back or else I probably would have crashed. But She just said two simple sentences to me. "He didn't do anything wrong, and he didn't abandon you." Now, if I didn't have the intimate relationship with my wife that we do have, one, I wouldn't have been able to even think about telling her what was going on, even though I didn't know exactly what was happening. And two, she wouldn't know what words to say. But because we developed this intimate relationship of sharing our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and explaining and exploring our pain through our past with each other, she was able to know exactly what I was feeling and thinking without me telling her, without me even knowing what it was. And that's exactly the same opportunity that we all have together as the body of Christ, as a church. As we get to have those relationships with each other where we can say, "Hey man, I don't know what's going on. This is what happened today. It's just been a horrible day ever since then. There's supposed to be like hail of fire and brimstone coming down. I got this stupid hard hat that I don't even think will help." And they're like, "It's okay, man. It's all right. You've gone through this before. You've survived it before. Did you think about this? Did you think about that?" And you'd work it out. Just like Sam was talking, and him and I have sat down for hours on end just working things out and talking about it and realizing God's truth through all the lies of this world. I think it's safe to say that in America, we've started to, well, we started to a while ago, but we've kind of warped the concept of relationships. You know, we have this, I'm going to use marriage as a good example because Jesus did. I'm going to break it down to three different stages. We have the dating stage where you make contact with somebody and you're like, hey, you look cool. I like the kind of music that you have on your MySpace page. and that's how I got Missy to talk to me, by the way. But we enter that dating stage where we just start learning and deciding if, you know, maybe I want to explore this a little bit more. And then we have, fast forward a little bit, we have the engagement stage where we commit to spending our lives with the person. And then we have the consummation stage where we're finally 100% united. And our relationship with God, our consummation, is once we unite with Him in heaven. So that's not a possibility right now for us. But we do have the other two stages to talk about. We have the dating stage. Is you start finding out about the person and you like how they seem, but you want to test the waters, you know, but you can't just do that casually. You say, okay, well, let's start dating and see where this goes. That's learning about the saving love of Christ and accepting that. But what Jesus asks us to do is to be betrothed to Him, to be engaged to Him. He is on bended knee in front of each and every one of us, asking us if we will marry Him. And it is in that process that of accepting that, of saying, yes, Lord, I will be united with You in glory, and I do want to do life with You, that in the relationship, you learn more about each other than you did during your dating stage. I mean, you do the whole play the 20 questions and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning breathing into the phone at each other. Or I guess now it's just instant messaging and not saying anything, right? Sending smiley faces. I don't know. I don't know what kids are doing these days. But either way, the point is when we enter that, when we do the dating stage, we enter into the engagement stage, we bring what I like to call our A game, right? We shower 3 times a day if we have to. We make sure we're always shaving. I always had like 2 extra toothbrushes and like an electric razor in my truck just to make sure I was always cleaned up just in case I wanted to stop by and say hi at work, you know. But we always have our A game. And then when we get engaged, we're not completely united. We don't have that ring yet. So we've still got to maintain that A game. We get a little more comfortable, though, you know. We don't always have to wear a shirt and tie. We can wear a T-shirt and sandals every once in a while, and that's okay. But we continue to learn more intimately about each other. We learn, what kind of cake do you like? Or what songs do you not want played at your wedding? Or, you know, why does your mom need to have, you know, gold-plated silverware or whatever, you know, at the wedding? But you learn those intimate things, but we still bring the A game. We still got to keep them interested. We got to still keep them on the hook. Why don't we do that with our relationship with God? Why do we just say, yeah, Lord, I'll date you. Let me know how that works out for you. And then we walk over this way. But we're still in a relationship. We still claim to be. We still claim to be boyfriend and girlfriend. We're still Facebook official. But we have nothing to do with them. Or He drops down and bends a knee in front of us and asks us to marry Him. Sometimes we turn away. Sometimes we accept it for a little bit, and then we turn away. Or we also have the option to continue in that relationship and continue growing until it's finally perfected when we are united with Him. I told you in the beginning that I wanted you to be challenged. The journey that Misty and I are on started when we sincerely and wholeheartedly said to God, "Lord, break my heart for the things that break yours." We want to see things with His eyes. We want to be in unity with Him. We want to develop that intimate relationship with Him and know, Lord, what makes you happy? What makes you sad? You know, when we're engaged to somebody, we want to make them happy, right? So we find out all the things that tick them off and all the things that make them happy. We try to avoid the things that tick them off, and we try to do all the things that make them happy most of the time. It's the same with God. What I'd like to invite you to do tonight is, in this final song, I want you to do some one-on-one time with God. I'm going to join you. Because we should constantly seek a more intimate relationship with Him. We should constantly dig deep down in our hearts and look for the things that prevent us from having a more intimate relationship with Him. Those are the things that break His heart, and they should break ours too. So do whatever it is you want to do. If you want to stand and sing, if you want to just stay in your seat and think and pray, if you want to get on your knees, if you want to fall on your face, if you want to come up here, just do some one-on-one with Him tonight. And I pray that when you leave that door tonight, that you will be working on increasing your relationship with God, that you will ask Him to stretch you and to grow you and to break your heart all over again so you can be closer to Him.
Thanks, Dylan. You know, I'm not sure where you guys are at today, where your walk's at with God, the things that you might be struggling with, maybe even the things that you have victory over. But at Friday night, this is a safe place to come. We get to work on our life, our spiritual walk, our relationship with God, and our relationship with each other. So you celebrate recovery, we build relationships because we need encouragement from each other. And that's what this small group did for me. You know, it united me with some men to help and encourage me so that I could take that leap of faith. Because it's not easy all the time. It does seem a mile away. But when you call a brother up and you ask him to come and talk with you, and he encouraged you the way Christ designed it to be, that leap of faith just became a little step. But man, does it make a world of difference. A world of difference. So take this message tonight and just let it soak in. Just let it marinate a little bit. And take your leap of faith. Don't let it stop you. Tonight, we took up a collection. And normally we put it in the office. But Pastor Eric and I were talking. And we wanted to give it to Missy and Dylan tonight, because we love them. They were a very, very important part of what we do here on Friday nights. At the end of the 12 steps at the lessons, it says there's two roads to take. One is service here at CR on Friday nights, and the other is service on Sundays here at church, or Wednesdays, or whatever other day you come here. And they've done both. They completely committed to serve. And I don't think we all start out that way. But at the end of the step study, we want to be that way. We want to. Because of the love that Christ has given us in our hearts, peeling away the calluses that we have, we want to serve. It becomes our passion. But we had to take that leap of faith. So I encourage you to take that leap of faith. I'm so proud of my brother. so thankful to have met him and became good friends with him. You know, I've only had two really, really good friends in my life. And I mean really, really good friends. And they both leave to go serve in other areas. But you know what? They are still my friends. I can still stay in touch with them. But we are to listen to God and go serve in any way that he says. And that's the example of what it looks like. They're moving to Guatemala, which is a long way off. And I'm just so proud of them and so proud to call them my friends. So if we can give Dylan a round of applause, he did an excellent job tonight. This is the Celebrate Recovery. It's not just a life of recovery, but a journey of discovery. I do appreciate you all being here tonight. And we are going to have small groups. Men will be over here in the room. Women, I guess, are going to be led by Jan back here in the Ezra room. Did I say Jane? Sorry, Jane. I always do that. I always call you Jan instead of Jane. I'm sorry. So you are more than welcome to hang out and grab some coffee and more food if you want, and then we'll be having small group. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming. It says right there, grab a coffee, join us for smaller groups. See you for fellowship at the Solid Rock Cafe, which is out the doors. Thank you very much.